Well, the good news, Chad, is that we have reader questions, and
okay, good. Well, I'll just keep babbling.
Well, the good and possibly bad news is that you're very popular, and we have a lot of them. So we're gonna try to blaze through some of these, okay?
Okay, I'll try to keep them short.
A reader named UBT Guitarist asks, "What do you love about being a musician, and what do you hate about it?"
What do I love about being a musician? I love, you know, I've been playing since I was 7, and I found my passion at a very early age. I just love to be creative. You know, I've played in so many different kind of situations, from little clubs to people's backyards to basements to, you know, stadiums to wherever, and I love being a creative person and making not only myself happy playing music, but making other people happy, smiling faces that you see when you know, you play your songs, mm-hmm. little songs that you make up, you know, in some little crummy rehearsal room or at your house or something. You know, you go and they turn into songs, you record them, they come out, and people connect with them, and you go play them, and you go to Japan, and the people can't even speak English, and they're singing your songs, and you know, I'm a musician, and it's not like I have a really important job. I'm not like a teacher, or I'm not a doctor or something. But it's like those are like important jobs. I'm just in a rock band, you know. It's not that big of a deal. But we do get to make people feel really good and connect with things, and you know, people come up to me, "Oh man, when I listen to your song, and you know, it really helped me through a time," or, you know, music, people identify with music in their life, and things that happen in their lives, and the times in their lives. I'm no different. And I'm just fortunate to be able to make a living and play music and do what I love to do. The worst part, what I hate about it, there's nothing I really hate.
Not the travel, you know, or being away from your family,
you know,
or anything?
Yeah, strongly dislike. Sometimes travel can be difficult, you know. The playing part is great, obviously. Sometimes the traveling around, and it could be hard. And I'm not complaining, but it definitely, you know, as far as in the grand scheme of thing, I got a pretty good job.
Iron Cobra 126 says, "I've heard you've been known to change your snare halfway through a gig due to wearing the skin out quickly. Is this true?"
Yes, this is true. I usually, in Chili Pepper shows, I have 4 snare drums, and they're all very similar. They're brass drums, and I play pretty hard, so after about 4 or 5 songs, I usually, the head will get a little dead, and I usually switch them out.
A reader named El Barto asks, "What's the best era of the Chili Peppers?"
Era?
Era.
Era or error. I don't know if there's a best. For me, you know, when I first joined the band, that was just really exciting because it was so new, and we made this record, Mother's Milk, and we kind of went from this club band to starting to get a little more popular, and you know, we got on MTV and started selling records, and that was really exciting to see that happen. You know, then we toured and played a lot, and then we wrote all those songs for Blood Sugar Sex Magik, and in 1991, that was a really good time. And we went on tour with Pearl Jam, Smashing Pumpkins, Chili Peppers at the end of 91.
That's right.
A couple months. And that was pretty cool, because that was a real movement. You felt a swell of something happening, and that was pretty exciting.
A reader named Blaze says, "Once you played a drum kit, 308 pieces, and you got in the Guinness Book of World Records. Where did this idea come from?"
A friend of mine in Detroit, where I grew up, I went to high school with, has a music store in Pontiac, Michigan called McCourt's Music. And I was back visiting in 1994, and I saw him, and he was like, "Yeah, you know, I want to," he was a drummer, and he said, "I want to put together the world's biggest drum set. I think it's like 298 pieces. I want to make one that's bigger than that." And I was like, "Oh, great. Good for you. That sounds like something fun." And he goes, "If I do, will you play it?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, sure. I'll come in and play it," really thinking that it never would materialize. 4 or 5 months later, he calls me up. Guess what? And so I came in, yeah, and they set it up. It was really, Joe, like playing a, being in a big music store, just kind of walking around hitting stuff, and you know. But I did employ the flaming helmet for that because we needed
right.
a little entertainment. And I remember I almost lit one of the banners on fire or something. That would have been, it was in a church, I think, so that would have probably not been so good. It wasn't the most musical experience in the world, but it was fun to do, and I was happy to do it for them. And yeah, I think it was in there. I think it made the Guinness Book. Yeah, so I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records.
There you go. A reader named Shallow Roots says, I tend to hit the drums extremely hard when I get into a song, as I know you do. I have broken way too many cymbals, and it's costing me dearly. Being the powerhouse that you are, you must be breaking cymbals quite often too, right?
No. I used to break cymbals all the time. I used to set my cymbals used to be high, and they'd be kind of straight. And so instead of now I set them up lower and hit them with more of a glancing blow than straight on and kind of sideways. And also, I would recommend not having the felt and the fastener. The cymbals are not too tight on the cymbal stand.
Right.
So they'll be able to move freely. You know, thinner cymbals, if you're playing really hard, thin cymbals, it's physics. They're just going to break. If you're hitting them with a lot of force with these, you know, very hard pieces of wood on the edge of a cymbal, and they're thinner, they are going to break.
A reader by the name of The Dude 5 asks, what is the most erotic Red Hot Chili Peppers song to play live?
There's one that we do called Sir Psycho Sexy off of Blood Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a mid-tempo funk, hard funk song. And the lyrics are pretty, it's an interesting story, and it's pretty erotic, I would say. And that's kind of inspiring, you know. It's a good song. It has a lot of kind of sexual energy to it. And we used to play this song, Party on Your Pussy.
Oh yeah.
I don't really do that one too much anymore, though. But that was more like a chanting kind of like loud. This one's kind of slinky and kind of sexy and kind of dirty.
A reader by the name of Medina asks, "Do you remember your first gig?"
It was in 1972 when I was 11, and I was playing with my brother in a band called Rockin' Conspiracy, and we played the Elks Club. It was a going-away party for my father. We were moving from Chicago to Detroit. It was a going-away party for my dad, Ford Motor Company, and he brought along his son's band to play. And we were terrible. We were the worst. But we played the hits of the day. Well, I don't know of the day, but these songs that we liked. But like I said before, the classic song. We played Light My Fire. We played Stairway to Heaven. We played a version of Fire by Jimi Hendrix. And my mother recorded it. And it's just the worst, straightest, most... I do the same fill every four bars. Any of this possible Mitch Mitchell swing out of the song at all. It's just really funny to listen to. And it's funny because the Chili Peppers, we do fire from time to time. For encore. It's a great song, but it's so swinging, you know. I mean, it was horrible.
A reader by the name of Mamerif wants to know, if you could do anything rather than being a drummer, what would you do?
I liked playing hockey. I was a goalie when
oh
I was
my.
A kid. Yeah. I think I just liked a lot of stuff, Joe. I like things with, like, you know, the more equipment, you know, the more stuff. Like,
well, no, you like hitting things
stuff.
With sticks.
And sticks. There you go.
There you go.
That too. There you go. But, you know, in baseball, I wanted to be the catcher because he wore more stuff. And hockey, I wanted to be the goalie, you know, and he had more stuff. And but yeah, I probably would like to play in the National Hockey League for the Detroit Red Wings and win a couple Stanley Cups. That would be pretty cool.
There you go. A reader by the name of Bosco wants to know if you're really in the audience photo on the back of the Kiss Alive album.
Where do you find these people? That is not true, but it's close.
Oh.
I was at that concert. That was my first concert I ever went to. May 16th, 1975, was Kiss at, I loved Kiss. I was a huge Kiss. I mean, I loved Led Zeppelin and all these other bands, but you know, Jimmy Page didn't breathe fire and spit blood, you know, and Bonham's riser didn't go, you know, 20 feet in whatever it was in the air, and, you know. I went to that concert, but that picture on the back of the album is shot. It's Cobo Hall. But where those guys are standing with their poster is at the 16th row, and I was in the 12th row. I was in front of them. So, no, I saw them taking the picture. I was looking at them, and I was like, and they're like, yeah, man. So, dude, it's a great classic picture, but... no, I'm not in the picture, but I was at the show, and it was pretty amazing.
And lastly, the Linux Effect wants to know: do you think it's fair to say that you're the most talented musician in the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Oh, absolutely! I am by far the most talented musician because, you know, I write all the songs, I actually play all the instruments, I produce it, I mix it, I do all the artwork, I direct all the videos. And, like, any good ideas that we have always come from me.
So this is a Music Radar exclusive. You are totally the man in the Chili Peppers.
That's right. That's right, my friend.
There you go.
Don't you forget it.
Hey, Chad, thank you very much for spending some time with me. It's been absolutely fantastic.
Oh, my pleasure, Joe. My pleasure, man.
And
thank
I wish...
Thank all your readers, you know, and all the nice people. And all very good questions. I didn't get any, you know, I didn't even get a Will Ferrell question, which I usually...
Well, okay. We have never seen you and Will Ferrell together in the same room.
Is that true?
I can't find the picture.
Just for you, because he's such a nice man, and I did bring it up. I will tell you my one Will Ferrell story.
Okay, and good.
And this is Will. He was in a movie called Ladies Man, which was really bad movie.
Oh yeah,
the Covassier, Ladies Man.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
One of those Saturday Night Live offshoot movies that didn't not well. Anyway, he was in that movie, so I went to a screening of it. I knew someone, Paramount, whatever, and it's on like the lot, and you go, and the actors were there, and the director gets up and talks a little bit before the movie, and here's the movie before it comes out, blah blah blah. So. This was years ago, and this is kind of before the whole, hey, you look like Will Ferrell before he got like Steve. And so I'm there, but people, you know, a little bit, hey, you know, you kind of look like that guy from Saturday Night Live. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's there, I'm there. After the screening, we go to the little buffet line where you get your shrimp cocktail and your salad and your chicken skewers or whatever. And I'm standing there getting my food, and there's a person next to me down the line, and then next to him was Will Ferrell getting his food, right? So I see him, you know, and I'm like, yeah, you know, Will Ferrell, yeah, a little bit. I don't know, I don't really. But I'm not thinking like I'm going to look at him and go, hey, you know, hey, hey. And so, but like the timing, the guy in between us walked away, and both Will and myself turned from the table and kind of we turn to the right, he turns to the left, and we face each other, and we're both getting ready to leave, and we turn, and he sees me, and he looks at me, and he kind of looks me up and down, and he goes, you're very handsome, and walks away.
That's excellent.
It's like deadpan. You're very handsome. And walks away. So I'm like, okay, so that was my one Will Ferrell story, and that's it. But God, if I had a nickel for every person that fucking said that to me.
Chad, again, thank you very much for spending some time with me.
My pleasure, Joe.
This is Joe Basso for Music Radar, the place for music makers, and I've been speaking with Chad Smith. Again, thank you very much.
See you soon. Thanks, you guys.
All right. Take care now.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.